And let's lift our voices to the Lord. And you tell him in your own words how grateful you are for the love of Jesus. Father, we're so grateful this morning for your steadfast love. You are immovable. God, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you, Lord, that you don't turn away from us when we fail, when we fall. God, but your love chases us because your desire is for us to walk in victory with you. And we're so grateful for this opportunity we have to gather this morning again and lift our voices to you to thank you for what you have done in our lives. And we want to say thank you, God. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. God, thank you. You deserve all the honor and the glory. Father, you don't owe us anything, and yet you had given us everything. Your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on a cross for our sin, for the penalty to pay for us that we had to pay. God, thank you that no longer we have to live separated from you. But with you, we have life, and not just life, but life in abundance. Thank you, Father. Lord, this morning I'm reminded of Bob and Kathy. I pray that the love of Jesus Christ will fill their home this morning. God, we continue to pray for healing in Bob's body till his last breath. God, this is what we're going to be praying. And we're asking you in the name of Jesus that you would come and remove this tumor and heal him. God, we're asking for Kathy that you would come and lift her up. God, we pray that you would bring joy into this home, oh Father. And thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you for the love of God that we have in you. Thank you, Lord, that visiting them, I don't hear them complaining, but they're so grateful. Even in the circumstances that are so dire, their heart is filled with gratitude. Oh, Jesus. And the words that are in Bob's mouth is, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, Jesus, thank you that you are good and you're merciful. And the hope that we have in you, it's unshakable. No one can take it away. We thank you that Miss Thelma is here with us. For the past few months, she's been home, bedridden, but God, she's with us this morning worshiping. We want to say thank you. Thank you that you have touched her. Thank you, Father, that you've given her the strength. And thank you that we're here together. And for all of us, oh Lord, we face all kinds of different things in life. But yet we are in the house of God. And what a joy that is. We pray that you would bless us and speak to us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. You may be seated. I want to take a moment to thank Pastor Mike for sharing a thought with us this morning. And your short word of encouragement goes very well with what the Lord has put on my heart. And I tried to avoid this word. It has been such a battle, and reading, studying, I said, no, it's not it. I have to go somewhere else. And trying to bring another word and work on another message. And a battle has been intense for the past week. And God has brought me again and again to this word. And I pray that we open our hearts to hear the word of God. Amen. The title of my message this morning is, I have hidden your word in my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart. I want to take you back 33 years, and some of you might not be even around 33 years ago, but it was a village where I grew up, and I've shared from time to time that we grew up poor. We grew up on a farm, and we had a farm not because we wanted to do business and sell crops to make money, but we had to have a farm, so in the summer we would work on that farm so we can survive through the winter. So the entire family and everybody in the village, this is how we worked. It was hard at times to find a job, especially for my parents, for my dad. Because he was a believer, a lot of opportunities were not there for him. He had to go so often to different cities, hours driving to be able to work a little bit to bring money home to feed his family. And of course, my mom, with all 13 children, we would work on a farm. We would do things to be able to just make daily means and to survive, if I can put it that way. But there is a picture that while I was studying this word and reading this word, there is a memory that came to my mind. And I think I was probably about 6 to 9 years old or even younger, older, around that age. A little boy. And I almost picturing the same fence, the same atmosphere. I even remember the weather. Because we had to wake up early in the morning to go and work on a farm before the sun would come in the middle of the day. During that time, we would go back to the house and take a nap and rest because it was dangerous to work in heat. But it was so early in the morning that it was cold. It was a cold morning. The sun was not even up. It was just a little bit of sun coming on the horizon. And of course, we as kids, we had to wake up, not out of our own accord or because we wanted to, but because we were asked to, and there was no options. We just had to do what we had to do. And I remember I snuck out because I didn't really want to go and work that early on the fields. So I snuck out and I went next to the fence in a corner. There was trees. And I hit and I sat on the ground and I was shivering. And I remember that moment. I was shivering and looking for that sun to hit me a little bit before going to work. And that's such a picture that I cannot get away. I remember, it's almost like I'm standing next to myself and looking at myself, this young little boy. But parents that asked us to do those things, it's not that they were mean to us, it's because we had to work if we wanted to live. We had to prepare the fields if we wanted to have food in the winter. We had to work on the fields and put the crops in and whatever what we had to do if we wanted results. The fields had to be prepared for the seeds to go in. If the fields were not prepared, there would be no harvest. If we did not work on the fields to pick up the rocks, to do the things that we had to do, to pick up the weeds, and every day doing something on that field, if we were slacking in that area, most likely the results would not be there the way we would expect them to be there. And as that picture in our life would be so vivid that if we did not put our hands to work, we can even go hungry. But there is a story that is written in Luke chapter 4, verse 4 and down. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 and down. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 and down. It's the parable of the sower. And the Bible says this, and when a great multitude had gathered, and usually in the Word of God, when we read that a great multitude had gathered, they wanted something from Jesus. And often Jesus would respond with this word that when he looked at the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And now you have the story, one of the first parables or one of the first stories that Jesus is sharing with the multitudes. And he says he gathered them and they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. Some others suggested that there was multitudes and the other group of people, they were also Pharisees and scribes and other people that were gathering to Jesus for the wrong reasons. They were just gathering around Jesus to catch him on some of the things that he might say that they can accuse him. They would gather to not be transformed by the power of the words of Jesus, but to catch him on the words that he would share. And of course, Jesus, he loved sharing not just scriptures from the Old Testament, but he would share through stories. He would take a story and he began to just share in simplicity so everybody can understand. I have to share stories with my kids. Even this morning, I have to remind them. And one of the stories that I share with them that very much they understand why we have to have discipline in our home. It's not because we're mean parents or because we desire to just correct our children, but we want them to be children that are filled with wisdom, children that will grow up to love the Lord, children that will grow up to be to respect others. And one of the things that I believe God even gave me wisdom to be able to share with them so they would understand what discipline is. We drive the kids to school, and every day it's about 35 minutes one way. So we have a lot of time in the car. And one time I just began to share this story with them that whenever when we drive to school, there are two lines, and the car has to stay in the line. The car has to not go to the right or to the left, otherwise we're gonna get in a crash. So the moment we go to the side and we pass the line that is on the left, we can go off-road. And usually, now of course, some of the new vehicles, they have sensors, right? And they just vibrate. If you go on a highway, there is another type of vibration that makes a lot of noise. And what I'm trying to express to them, that our life, God has put us in this path, on this road. And He desires us to move forward and not to crash. And the moment we go to the left, where there's other cars coming, or to the right, the sensors are reminding us, you gotta come back. And that's what discipline is in our life at times. That whenever one God even disciplines His children, He does it out of love, that we don't go off the road, that we don't crash. And this story, they understood that now in our home, if we have times of discipline, it's not because we're mean parents, but it's because we desire them to stay in the right lane and not to crash in life, to grow up, to be children that will love the Lord and walk with the Lord. And will respect others, will respect the elderly. When the elderly comes in, they will give their seat. Yes, we have to teach our kids that. And now Jesus, He knows that if He was just shared to the people, that the multitudes that gathered there with just theology and scriptures from the Old Testament, they will not fully understand. And He began to share with stories. And the stories that He's sharing with them, it's not something that He's telling them that somebody else is doing. But they would know very well what He's talking about because they lived in those cities. They sowed. They expected crops. And they knew what was Jesus talking about. And of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, they knew as well in the stories that so often Jesus was calling them out because they were filled with religion, but yet lacking the relationship with God, lacking the Word of God to take root in their lives. And verse 5 goes on. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, you know, I want to pay attention over here. A sower went out. Me and you are sowers. At that time, Jesus is also a sower. He spreads the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But me and you are also sowers. And we cannot just sit in our home. As I had to go as a little boy, early in the morning, out of the house, to the fields, to sow and prepare the fields for the crops. A sower went out. My brother, my sister, I want to remind us that Jesus is calling me and you to go out. To go out. The comfort zone, to go out, to step out from our comfortable homes, to step out. Nothing will happen if we just live for ourselves, as we've heard this morning for Pastor Mike. Just living in the wilderness, God wants to call us out of those places, to go out into the promises of the Lord and to share this gospel with other people. And this sower began to sow seeds. Some fell by the wayside and it was trampled down and the birds of the air devoured it. Again, I remember our home in the village there, it was in the middle between two streets. And if people had to go to another street, they had to go all the way around and to be able to walk on the other street. So of course, they found a path through our yard. People would sneak in and go through our yard to the other side and hang out, either kids or adults even. And of course, we put a fence and they broke the fence. They made a hole in the fence and they went out still. But through time, what happened, because people were walking, where we sowed, all of a sudden it became a path, trampled path, that nothing was growing there. Everything was green on our right side, on our left side, and right in the middle where people were walking and sneaking out, there was a dry piece of land that nothing was growing. It doesn't matter what we saw there. If it was trampled, nothing would grow. And this is what he says. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it springs up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And when he talks about the rock here, he not talks about pebbles that sometimes are in the yard. During that time, wherever they lived, there were pieces of rock, big places of rock that nothing was growing there. But the job of the sower was not to be concerned of the rock. His responsibility was to sow, to throw. And it was a job of the weather. It was the results of the, if there was rain or not, if the seeds would bring fruit. And in our lives, we're not to be scared of, well, that person, it's filled with hatred, and I'm not going to share this gospel because it's not gonna touch him. No, we have a responsibility to sow, and believe the Holy Spirit will do the rest, amen? And here in verse 7 says this, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground. Another translation or in a deeper study would be, some fell in good ground and sprang up and yielded a crop of 100-fold. When he said these things, he cried out, who has ears to hear? Let them hear. And of course, he continues. Then his disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it's given in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And of course, Jesus is referring to the book of Isaiah, because there was a people that seeing they were blinded. They were filled with religion. They were filled with rituals. But whatever what they were seeing, they were blinded to the things because it did not affect their lives. It did not produce a change in their lives. And of course, he says, and hearing, they may not understand. In different words, people closed their ears. They did not want to hear the word of God. People did not want to be transformed by the power of the word of God because it requires a sacrifice. It requires us to be all in what God is doing. It requires us to live by the word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring fruit through our lives. What a scary scripture. Seeing, they might not see. And hearing, they might not understand. It almost like a judgment of God to people that see, but they're not seeing what God is doing. They hear, but yet they're not hearing it to the point of transformation. And Jesus goes on to explain this story, and he began to share. And this is where I want to share my heart, what I believe the word of God is speaking to us this morning. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. As I reminded you, that the people that were coming next to our home and trampling the seeds, they were not friendly people. They were taking advantage to a degree because we're believers and we're not gonna do anything about it. And that's what the enemy does in people's lives. He tramples the word that we hear even this morning. And it's not, this word is not only for the unbelievers, it's for all of us to remind us that we face an enemy in this world that tries to fill our hearts not with faith, but with unbelief. And he says, by the waysides are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. What are some of the words and promises of the Lord that you're hearing and you feel like the enemy is robbing you of all of those things that you have heard? Unless there will be change in your life. Because salvation brings change, transformation.
It does not just help us for one day, but it transforms our lives and our hearts.
What are some of the things that try to sneak in into our life and trample the seeds of the Word of God? Where the enemies brought holes in those fences, in those parameters that we have put for safety, and is the Word of God, is the enemy has brought doubt in your life. That you would question the promises of the Lord. Where are those areas in our life that we can say, no more? No more. I'm going to allow this seed to take a hold, to take roots in my life, which is the Word of God. But the ones on the rock were those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. You see, the word of God is being spoken and preached and shared, but also there are moments in our life that we can embrace the word of God and we're filled with emotions, we're filled with these feelings of gratitude and joy, and we accept the word of God into our lives, but yet it has no root. It does not go deep in our hearts. And it says, when we are tempted, this word falls away. Are we gonna believe this morning that God can give us victory over temptations? Can we believe this morning to say, God, you are stronger? The Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and I have victory over temptations. I have victory over everything that tries to come against me. I'm not gonna be just joyful coming to a place where I hear your word and it sounds amazing, but yet in my daily life, I feel like I'm empty. I feel like I'm not living it out. This morning, say no to the enemy. Resist the devil, the Bible says. And he will flee from you. Don't chase him, but resist him. You're not called to chase the enemy. You're called to resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, he himself will flee from you and me. And we are called to stand in the power of Christ. Now, the ones that fall among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Listen, I'm not talking to you about salvation this morning. I'm talking about the evidence of the Word of God that has power to change us, transform us, and bring fruit for the kingdom of God. Now, the ones that fell among thorns are those who then they have heard, go out and are choked with cares. What are the things in your life that you care? What are the things in your life that tries to oppress you? What are the things in your life that is trying to come against you, to distract you from what the Lord has for you? What are the thorns that are trying to choke you, to choke the life of Christ in you? What are some of the things that you're going through that prohibits the growth of the Word of God in your life? Are there riches in our life that we have put our trust in? Or not even riches, but also death that we are facing, that now we're working all the time to try to just pay the bills. Those are also can be moments in our life that is trying to choke the life of Christ and the Word of God from our hearts. I'm reminded of the story from the Old Testament of the nation of Israel. That when they began to grow and multiply, Pharaoh, when they saw that, they said, well, if we let them do that, they will overtake us. So now what are we gonna do? We're gonna make them slaves. They're gonna work all the time. They're not gonna have time for their family. We're gonna work them 3 shifts. And during that time, we're gonna beat them. So that way, they don't have time for themselves to grow, because we're in fear that if they grow, they will be stronger than us. And I believe that today we live in a society all over the United States and all over the world
that the simplicity of a family, since this is a family Sunday, the simplicity of a family where we can in freedom gather together around a kitchen table and share the works of God, laugh together, do things together. No, not everybody can afford that now. The system that was there to help us, we find ourselves to be slave to the very thing that we are thinking that will help our family. And yet we live in a generation that are without fathers, absent of parents. And 80% of the time, or 90% of the time, they're either in daycare or school. My brothers, my sister, this was not the design of God. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as parents, as grandparents, to allow the seeds of the Word of God to grow into our lives and for the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be known in our lives and to impact our children and our families. What are some of the things that is trying to get a hold of us that we, with good intentions, became the very thing, the slaves of a system, and yet our own families are hurting around us? This morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give us the grace that we need to say no to some of the things and to say yes to the things that God has called me and you to say yes to. By the mercies and the grace of God, the Bible says that God will give us enough. We're not going to be beggars. But let us be content in the journey that God is calling me and you. Let us be content. And through that contentment, our children will see an example of what it means for the Word of God, for these seeds, to get a hold of our lives and to bring fruit in our lives. Hallelujah. And the third thing, it says, the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. What are some things that they're not bad, they're not sinful, but pleasures of life? Well, if I have a choice to go to the house of God or to watch a football game, pleasures of life, I would be like, I'm gonna just watch the game. We're lacking the discipline at times in our lives to say no to pleasures of life and say yes to the things of the Lord. No to some of the things that are trying to rob our time. And it's nothing wrong to watch a football game. I do the same thing. I remember a conversation we had with our children and with my wife when our daughter wanted to play soccer. And the only way we agreed that she's going to go and play soccer if it's not going to interfere with our church commitments, with church service. And at times, she wanted to do so bad and the schedule is crazy. And we said no. There were only a few times at tournaments that she would go. But other than that, we're not going to go into a style skipping church services to go just enjoy pleasures of life. My brothers and my sisters, this word has power in our life. And that's what the Word of God says, that because of these things, there is no mature fruit. And that's the Word of God. If we want mature fruit in our lives, we have to abide by it and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and agree with the Word of God to say, God, I want to go with you. And yes, of course, there is time to go to the park. It's time to go to the games and do all of those things. But also there is time to teach our children, to teach our families, to go to the house of the Lord, to come Sunday morning to pray together and worship the Lord, to come on Wednesday nights to pray for the needs of the world. We need to teach our children because they will grow and they will be the product of our decisions. Verse 15, but the ones that fall on, or I should say the ones that fall in the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. With patience. As the worship team comes, I'm gonna be closing in a moment. I wanna be this person. In verse 15, but the ones that fall in the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. By the grace of God, everything that is trying to come against us, God is still reminding us that our hearts can be still plowed. One way we're plowing our hearts as we plow our fields to prepare for the crops
is
through hearing the word of God. Another way our hearts are being plowed is the work of the Holy Spirit, because we do not desire light. We have love, darkness. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to illuminate us, to open our minds, to open our hearts. One of the prayers that I pray, especially when I travel, God, open my heart to be able to receive your word this morning. It might not be the most amazing sermon. It might not be the most amazing message at times that I'm hearing. Or you might say at times you're hearing, even from me. But my prayer is, God, open my heart. It's your word, and your word, when it's sown, help it not to turn back void, because you have promised that you will not. When I come to the house of God, when the word of God is being opened, speak to me. Speak into my marriage. Speak into my relationships. Convict me. And I pray that your word will bring fruit in my life. And of course, with patience. That means at times we have to wait for the fruit to come. We had to work all summer, so in the fall, we can take the fruit into our home, into our basement, and preserve it for winter time. Brothers and sisters, we live in a country that we have tasted what freedom is like. And this summer, we'll be celebrating 250 years of freedom, of existence of this country, of the Constitution. But let me tell you this, not everybody has tasted what we have tasted. And then on the other side, don't think that forever it will be like that. The trajectory and the path that this nation is taking is falling apart right in front of our eyes. And we need to store the Word of God. We need to allow the seeds of the Word of God to come into our hearts. So in a due time, it will produce fruit for the glory of Jesus Christ. We are not powerful enough in our own strength to stand. And all what God is asking me and you to do, open your hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to plow. So this word that is being spoken, the word that I'm reading, can get a hold of me and you. Transform my life for His kingdom, for His glory. Are the cares of this world discouraged you to open the word? Are the riches or the lack of has discouraged you and knocked you out of the path, and you have crossed the line to the side of the road and wondering when I'm gonna crash? Are the pleasures of life that are coming against you instead of choosing the ways of the Lord? Daniel have chosen to suffer. Moses has chosen to suffer with the people of the Lord than to partake of the pleasures of Egypt. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes in our life, we will say no to the things, but God will reward us and we'll become strong giants in faith. Hallelujah. You see, in all of these four examples, the seed was sown, which tells me that God never gave up on His word. And He's calling me and you to join Him to sow the seeds. Even the ones that will fall on the rocky places, in the torrents, the one that will not walk with the Lord, it doesn't matter. He's still calling me and you to sow the seeds, to get out and sow the seeds. You see, the first one fell by the wayside. The second one fell on the rock. The third one fell among the thorns, but the fourth one fell on, but the correct way would be fell in good ground, because the seed has to go in the ground to be able to produce fruit. And this morning, as the psalmist David says this in Psalm 119 verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the man and woman who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Or I should say this, but his delight is in the seeds of the word of God. But his and her delight is in the promises of the Lord. And his law, he meditates day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also should not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. I love this. I love this. That when we allow the seeds of the word of God not to be by, not to be on, not to be among, but to be in our hearts in a due season, we will prosper. The word of God will prosper through us and bring fruit for his kingdom. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the winds drive away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Do you love the word of God? Is it a struggle to read it at times? Is it a struggle to read it at times? Absolutely. Is it a struggle to believe the promises of the Lord? Absolutely. But this morning, I want to be like David. Not to say, I have hidden your word by my heart. Or I have hidden your word on my heart. Or among my hearts. Even though we don't have hearts, just a heart. But I want to be like David to say, I have hidden your word in my heart. Can you say it with me? Like David says, I'm going to hide your word in my heart. And this is my altar call this morning to say this. God, I pray that you would help me, that I would hide your word in my heart, that I would not sin, but live by your promises. And this seed has power. This seed will be sown. And this morning, even through my message and Pastor Mike shared, it's a seed that is being sown. And maybe it's a season in your life right now that your heart is filled with pain. And this word, as it's being sown, it doesn't really feel like even produces fruit. It's not even feeling like it's falling in. But that's the desire of the Lord, for this word to fall in. So it will produce fruit. You'll produce patience. You'll produce guidance. You'll produce victory. You'll produce healing in your life. Maybe you're so far away in this wilderness that you don't even desire to walk into the promised land. But we were reminded this morning that the promised land belongs to you. And the promised land, it's not a different location for us. It's living in the promises of the Lord. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we will finish this race. We will get to the end. It's the promises of the Lord. He will keep you. He will cleanse you. He will forgive you. He will help you. Open your heart and say, God, I want this word to be in my heart. I want this word to be fruitful in my life. Help me. Give me the grace. Because when the issues and the promise of the world will come against us, at times this is the last thing what we want to do, to come back to the word of God. And that's the plan of the enemy. The cares of the world. Everything that is coming against us. And we live in this life filled with confusion, pain, sorrow, discouragement. But I want to tell you that we can still go through life facing all of these things. But if the word of God is in us, and if we're patient, as the Bible says, you will produce fruit. Hallelujah. And I thank God. I thank God that during those moments, being a child, thinking like, what am I doing on this field? Hiding in cold, shivering. But let me tell you, the sun rose, heat came, and desire came to go and plow, to go and sow. And that's what God is calling me to do.
Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come, died on a cross, resurrected for me and for you, to allow him now to shine on our lives, to shine in those moments when we're shivering, when we're hiding, when we're sitting, not wanting to sow, not wanting to plow. But God says, do this and watch what I will do. Father, we are grateful for your word. God, I try to go around this world to share something else, but you've brought me back again and again. And you know what your children are facing. You know what we are facing as a church. God, and I'm asking you that your word will be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. God, I pray that we will hide your word in our hearts, that we will not sin against you. God, I pray that you would give us the power and the authority that we are to have through the power of the Holy Spirit to resist this world, to resist the ideas of this world. And I pray that you would free us from a system that caused us to be slave to this worldly things. And I pray that you would bring us back, bring the focus back, that we will read your word and we will take as an example of what it means to be godly parents, to invest into our children. God, I pray that it's not in abundance that we would be happy, but we will be happy because you have provided for us what we need for the day. I pray that you would change our mind, renew our mind. And I pray, oh Lord, that if we're chasing for something at the expense of our family, at the expense of gathering together at a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, God, I pray that you would bring a conviction in our life. Restore the joy of our salvation. Do something in our lives that will be so real, so tangible, that we will not be able to deny it. God, we open our hearts before you. And we're asking you, Father, the words that were spoken and your word that is powerful to transform us and bring fruit into our lives. God, I pray that you would help us to prioritize things. I pray, oh God, if there's people in this room that the worldliness and the things of this world that is trying to capture us, Lord, I pray that you would help us to say, Lord, have your way. Clear the path for us so we can walk. If the enemy has come and made a path in our lives and our families, broken the fences, the boundaries that were placed by you in our lives, I pray, oh God, that you would come and cultivate those areas in our life. Make us tender towards you. Make us tender towards your word. God, I pray that those boundaries and those walls will come bigger and stronger, that nothing, no lie of the enemy will come and penetrate our homes, our families, our marriages. God, we pray that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will bring fruit into our lives. Jesus, all what you're requiring us to allow your word to be in our hearts. This is all. It's nothing that we do in our own strength and our power. God, but you're calling us to just yield our lives to you. And I pray that we will do just that, oh God. Because you have seen the multitudes and you had compassion on them. And you see the people that are in the sanctuary and in a line. And I pray that compassion that you had before, you will have it this morning. And that you would wipe away every tear. And that you would bring shouts of joy and dancing into our homes. So God, I pray that you would help us. Help us, oh Lord, to just do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please, with me? If this word spoke to you, and you're here, your children are here, you can grab your children and come and allow the Lord to minister to you for this word to be sown in us, in your heart, amen? And to say like David, God, I'm gonna hide your word in my heart, that I will not sin, that I will not live my life selfishly for my own desires, that I will not allow the things of this world to have an influence the way I'm raising my family, but I pray that your word will always guide me. And as a result, I know that you will cause this word to grow. And the fruit, it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's joyful. It's shouts of joy, shouts of victory. Because whatever what God does, it's beautiful and it's complete. And that can be your story. During the song, if you want to respond in whatever way God spoke to your heart, respond. And we'll be praying in a moment. I'm going to ask Pastor Carter to come after that if he wants to share anything and pray for you. God bless you.
You know, the parable that Pastor Pavel spoke about finishes with the thought, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I hear something in my spirit, and I've heard it from a dear brother that shared the word. I heard it from Pastor Pavel. We're living in a perilous time now. For those that are not aware of it, just this week, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people marched in our major cities in support of communism and the overthrow of freedom. Folks, that's more serious than we realize, because what Pastor Pavel was describing when he was a little boy sitting in his yard, that's life under communism. That's what it looks like. You know, even the communist leaders in the 1940s called people that in the West that were sympathetic to their attempts to overthrow Western society, useful idiots. I'm just going to say it. That's what they called them. People who are just uneducated. They don't understand what communism produces. And we're at a crossroads in the nation. And what I hear the Holy Spirit saying now is that a tepid, lukewarm Christianity cannot confront this spirit. It has to be a people who are all in, as we heard. It has to be a people who are letting the seed fall onto good ground. It has to be people who are willing to say, God, if I lose my freedom that others may have theirs, then so be it. I'm all in. Whatever it is you've asked me to do, whatever it is you've called me to be, I'm all into that. And that's got to be a decision that's individually made by every one of us. We can't do it collectively. It has to be an individual choice. I know I prayed recently. I said, God, if I have to go to prison someday for the sake of others to be free, then so be it. I don't really care. I want to be all in this last hour that we're now living in. And I think we're going to wake up at some point as a people and realize the seriousness of the moment we're now living in. And the Holy Spirit is wooing, is calling. We heard it the whole service today. For whoever was listening, the Holy Spirit was speaking and calling us to be all in to what God has for each of our lives in the future and going out and being occupied with what really matters in the future. A lot of the peripheral things don't really matter, but what really matters is the souls of men, women, and children, and the future of freedom really is at stake right now in this nation. So, Father, we just lift our hearts and our hands to you, Lord, and we just want to say thank you, God, for the open doors that you will give to us as your people, as we choose to be all in. We choose, Lord, to let your word fall in rich soil in our hearts, Lord, and you've called us to go out and bear fruit for your kingdom's sake. And Lord, we hear you, God. We know that this spirit that's coming against Christ in this entire world cannot be defeated by a lukewarm Christianity. It's got to be people like you and I who are all in. So, Father, I just ask, God, in Jesus' name, that you would plant something so deep in our hearts, God, that this would be a sober moment in each of our hearts. And we would hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church. Thank you for this word today. Thank you for Pastor Pavel's courage to speak what you gave him. Thank you for our dear brother, Lord, who got up and shared about the people just going all in to whatever God had for them, Lord. So let that be our portion this day, Father. And we thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.